As we take up this theme of spiritual warfare and putting on the whole armour of God, we're thinking this morning about the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the whole armour of God, we read in verse 11. And then verse 14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you're a Christian trusting in Jesus Christ as your Saviour King, the Bible tells you you have a spiritual enemy. Satan hates you and indeed wants you back in the kingdom of darkness. One of the clever ways Satan deceives people today is that many in the West dismiss the idea of the devil as just superstitious nonsense. But the Bible, the Word of God, says, no, there is a real enemy, a resourceful, cunning enemy, the one who outwits those who trust in themselves and who outwits those who don't believe that he exists. For those who are not Christians, the Bible says, the God of this world, Satan, the devil, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's what we're praying for week by week, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ will shine in your heart, that you realize the glory of who Jesus Christ the Savior is and your great need to trust in him. But there is an enemy who wants to blind your spiritual eyes to that truth. So that's why we're studying Ephesians chapter 6. Satan hates believers, wants to bring you down, will use every trick in the book to defeat you. But let's also bear in mind, Satan hates Kensett Evangelical Church, hates all gospel, all evangelical churches. Our night would like nothing better than to shut this church down and shut gospel churches down. But the good news that Ephesians 6 reminds us of is that Christians have an almighty Saviour. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. So although Satan hates us, he's an enemy, God has provided a way where we are able to take a stand against him. And this passage then tells us over and over and again that we need to stand against this enemy. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the evil plans of the devil. Therefore take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So there is a spiritual dimension to life, but we can overcome this spiritual enemy, and we've got to look at a critical part of what it means to put on then the whole armour of God to stand for Jesus Christ in the days in which we live. Now, as we review just a little, Paul has reminded us of this spiritual warfare. It involves God, human beings, but then there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have enemies who have tactics. Part of the warfare is to bring God's people down, if those enemies could, to destroy you. But the good news, if you're a Christian, you can stand. You have a Saviour who is greater and who has defeated the devil and all the forces of darkness. You can stand, but you won't stand against this enemy in your own power. You'll only stand in the power that God supplies through Jesus Christ. So we need to pay attention to what Paul says in this passage. How can we stand against this enemy? And the first piece of the armour is the belt of truth, your waist girded with truth. The truth means knowing and believing and living the word of God. That's where our defense begins. One of Satan's major tactics is deceit. So Paul says we must begin by knowing the truth, bringing your heart and life into line with that truth as it's revealed in the Bible. So the truth of the word of God is the first line of defense against the attacks of Satan. If Satan has convinced you that he doesn't exist, you need to be reading the Bible. Jesus came into the world to destroy this enemy, but he is a real enemy. But Paul says we don't only need the belt of truth, the truth of the word of God. Paul says take up the whole armor of God. So that belt of truth, important as it is, it isn't the only piece of spiritual armor. This morning we're coming to the second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Although you notice it's pretty closely linked to the belt of truth, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is held in place by the belt of truth. But what we're going to look at this morning as we think about this breastplate of righteousness is where can we expect attack? How can we defend ourselves? And how do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? So three questions. And the first is where can we expect attack? The picture Paul gives us isn't difficult to understand. Soldiers in the ancient world would wear a breastplate, a layer of metal, sometimes very tough leather, that covered the soldier from neck to thigh. Usually two pieces, one at the front, one at the back, like the ancient equivalent of a bulletproof vest. If you wore the breastplate, then those vital organs in your body, particularly the heart, would be protected from sword thrusts. So a soldier wouldn't even think about going into battle without a breastplate. And it's interesting Paul talks about the breastplate because he's showing us where is Satan likely to attack? Well, Satan will attack. He will come after your heart. Because Satan knows if he can get your heart, that will inflict a mortal wound. In the heart, what is the heart? The heart is not just the physical organ that pumps the blood. The heart in the Bible is the inner being, the real you, who you really are. The Bible uses the term the heart to refer to the thoughts, the motives, the emotions of men and women. You need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, says Paul, to protect the heart, that inner part, that real you, against the attacks of Satan. There are invisible powers, and believers can be vulnerable in their thoughts and motives and emotions. That's where we expect attack. Satan will attack your thoughts. He'll get you to think wrong thoughts about God, about Jesus Christ, about him, about yourself, about the Bible. If the devil can twist your thinking, he will poison your relationship with God and lead you into error. I've mentioned one of the most obvious ways Satan deceives people, particularly in the West, is to get people to think he doesn't exist. If you think this morning you don't have a spiritual enemy, I'm reminded when I became a Christian as a teenager, an older lady in the church asked me after a couple of weeks, "Have you discovered that there's a devil yet?" What was she asking? She was saying, "You have an enemy." Well, Satan will attack thoughts and motives and emotions, try to get you to do the right thing for the wrong reason, or that you want or desire something more than God and Jesus Christ, capture your heart, make you an idolater. Satan will attack your emotions. The emotions are a great gift from God. But they're also an area that Satan can attack. Can use your emotions to carry you away from God. Your moods don't come just from nowhere. They come from the mind to the heart. So when you're angry, discouraged, depressed, anxious, fearful, irritable, it's likely that wrong thinking has led to something specific in the emotional world. Satan particularly likes attacking emotions as a means of doubting God's love. So when truth and emotions are lined up, that can be a powerful force for spiritual good. But when your emotions are not in line with the truth, then you're in great danger. So we need to be aware, how does Satan attack? Satan will go for your heart. Do you have a heart for God this morning? We need a breastplate of righteousness. The heart is a vital part of the body, so the breastplate is absolutely needed if we're to survive. You can expect to be attacked in your heart, and you need to defend yourself. You need the breastplate of righteousness. So how? How do we defend ourselves? How do we protect this most vulnerable area, the heart? Well, I've said that the breastplate is like the ancient version of the bulletproof vest. Paul says, don't think of going out into life without the breastplate of righteousness. Whatever this breastplate of righteousness is, you need it. If you're a Christian, Paul wants you to defend yourself with righteousness that is yours in Christ. If you're not a Christian, you need that righteousness from Jesus Christ put to your account by faith. And there's also in the heart of the Christian, in the life of a Christian, a righteousness that the Holy Spirit produces in life. So we're going to think about those two aspects of the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, Jesus' righteousness as a defense. That when you trust in Jesus Christ, the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ and he saves you and cleanses you and forgives you, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put to your account by faith. Because one of the ways Satan attacks you is to accuse you. He says, you've sinned again, you're no good, God would never love someone like you, you've sinned. Now that's one of the ways Satan attacks the heart. The accuser. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 10, Satan, the devil, is described in this way. The accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night. This is one of the main tactics of the devil, to accuse. You've sinned. Satan loves to point out our flaws, our sins, our failures. And of course we are sinners, so there are lots of sins and lots of flaws and lots of failures to point out. So when Satan attacks in that way, you need a righteousness that doesn't come from yourself, but you need a righteousness to defend you. And if you try to argue with your own righteousness, you're going to lose in this battle. Because our righteousness at its best is like wax before God. A wax breastplate isn't going to deflect any blows of a sword. The more you grow as a Christian, in fact, the more you're aware that you have no righteousness of your own. Our righteousnesses are like filthy rags before God, says the Bible. So the more you grow in faith, the more you know your own righteousness will not be a primary defense against Satan. You need the breastplate of Jesus Christ's righteousness. I referred briefly last week to the vision of Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, in Zechariah chapter 3. And I'm going to look at it in a bit more detail again this week, because it's an unusual passage, but it's profound, particularly in this area of our need of righteousness. There's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of the Prophet Zechariah. In our church Bibles, I'm turning to page number 637. And there we read, Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. There's the accusation, the opposition, the enemy. Joshua is in heaven standing before God. The high priest only came before God once a year on the Day of Atonement. There were weeks and weeks of work to prepare for that day, to ensure the priest was cleansed and ready to stand before God. But when Joshua the high priest came before God, Satan was standing at his right hand to oppose him. And verse 3 says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Joshua is clothed with filthy clothes. That's a picture of you and me before God, if we're trusting in ourselves. We're coming before God, but we are unclean. There was no way Joshua could stand before God unclean. Satan was there to oppose him. It would be a disaster for you to appear before God in your uncleanness. This is a picture of our condition before God without Jesus Christ. So Satan loves to point that out, to oppose, to accuse. You've sinned. You've sinned. You've sinned. But look what happens when Satan opposes Joshua. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity, your sin, from you. And I will clothe you with rich robes, clean robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. And they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. It's a great picture. It's a picture of what happens when you trust in Jesus Christ and his righteousness is put to your account. Take off the filthy, the dirty clothes. I've removed your iniquity. I'll clothe you with rich robes. Take away the uncleanness, the unclean clothes. And instead, Joshua is clothed in God's presence with a turban, which signifies status, royalty even. And then he's given clean garments, clean clothes. It's a picture of the righteousness that is ours when God takes away our sins, when we trust in Jesus Christ, and clothes us with an alien righteousness. A righteousness that is not our own, the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to our account. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, it's put like this. God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus was our substitute at the cross. He took our sins and the punishment of our sins, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So when Satan accuses you and you have no righteousness of your own, you remind Satan, you're clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's your standing before God. You remind yourself and you remind Satan, Jesus has died for your sins. Your standing before God is based not on your own righteousness, but on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a righteousness put to your account by faith. So in Christ, you've been pardoned, cleansed, justified. You're counted righteous. It's what the theologians call imputed righteousness. Righteousness put to your account. It's not about our righteousness at this stage. It's about Jesus' righteousness. And when we put on that breastplate of Christ's righteousness, Satan cannot pierce it to get through to our hearts. We've sung two hymns already about righteousness. Let me give you a preview of where we're going for our last hymn. Accepted, says Charles Wesley, accepted in the well-beloved. Who is the well-beloved? The well-beloved Son, Jesus. Accepted in Jesus Christ and clothed in righteousness divine. Why can Satan not attack this righteousness? This is divine righteousness. It's the righteousness of the Son of God. It's the righteousness of the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and without sin. Jesus' righteousness put to your account. So let me ask you this morning, is this your standing before God? Jesus' righteousness. You will not stand if you're standing in your own righteousness. Have you looked to Jesus Christ in faith for righteousness? Is the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account by faith? Your defense against the attacks of the devil. And let me push it just a little bit further. That even if you say to me this morning you've trusted in Jesus Christ for righteousness, is that the righteousness you wear when Satan comes after your heart? Because it's possible to say you've trusted in Jesus Christ, but to functionally be living as if it all depends on you. Now that's a recipe for failure and disaster. We need to preach this gospel to ourselves every day. Our standing before God as believers is not in our own righteousness. It is in Christ's righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Every day, we remind ourselves we do not stand before God based on our own record. We stand because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're in union with Jesus Christ. And when Satan comes after your heart, then you can stand with courage, knowing that the breastplate of Jesus' righteousness can handle any attack that Satan brings. So that's imputed righteousness, righteousness put to your account by faith. But there's another part of this breastplate that we need to consider too, because if Jesus' righteousness has been put to your account by faith, what will happen is that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and life, and as part of this defense, enabling you to stand, there is an imparted righteousness. You see, Satan attacks, I've said, through accusation. Yes, we stand before God in Christ, counted righteous, imputed righteousness. But there is another important area of righteousness, because when the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to teach you to trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit also begins a work of change in your heart and life to make you more and more like Jesus. That's slow, it's gradual, it's ongoing, it's not been perfected. But in the Bible, those two are not separated. If God has forgiven you, if you have the righteousness of Christ put to your account to faith, then God, by the Holy Spirit, has begun to change you. Now, you might hope and wish that he changed you more. But when you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're saved from the penalty of sin. But you're also saved from the power of sin. So there's a righteousness that we put on, says the Apostle Paul. We begin to think God's thoughts. We begin to desire God's desires. We begin to walk in God's ways. We are strengthened to resist the attacks of the evil one. Now, I want to be very clear. Hear me on this. Our standing before God is not based on our own righteousness. That will always fail, because all of us still struggle with sin. So if you're just trusting in your own righteousness, that will never be a sure defense when Satan accuses you. But linked to that righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account by faith, there is a growth in holiness which enables you to take your stand when Satan attacks you. A growing in holiness. It's why in this letter we've read again and again of this work of God in us. We are trusting in Jesus Christ for his righteousness put to our account by faith. But if you're trusting in Jesus Christ and his righteousness put to your account by faith, there is a work that God is doing in your heart and life. Listen to how Paul describes it. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So here's the work of God for us in Jesus Christ. But what does that do? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that's a work that God does in us by the Holy Spirit. That's imparted righteousness. Or Ephesians 4 verses 20 to 24. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You don't live that way anymore. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's imparted righteousness. Because Christ's righteousness is put to your account by faith, and God by the Holy Spirit is working in you, your life is being changed, says the Apostle Paul. Put on the new man. Or Ephesians 5, 8 to 11. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. See what Paul is doing. It's not hard to see how this works. If Satan attacks us in our thoughts and motives and emotions, then growth in holiness will help us to have holier thoughts, holier emotions, holier motives. When we're not living holy lives, we make ourselves easier targets for Satan to attack. So yes, pursue holiness. But remember who you are in Jesus Christ. His righteousness put to your account by faith is your standing before God. But now, as you stand against the devil, live out that identity. Cast yourself on Jesus Christ for every day. Ask for his help. Worship with other believers. Confess your sins. Get into the Word of God. Read the Bible. One or two people have asked me for helps in reading the Bible. So this morning I've got hold of some of the books that I use from time to time for Bible reading when Wendy and I read the Bible together. It's called Table Talk. So these are ones which I've used in the last months. If you want to take one of them, I'll put some of them at the back this morning. They'll help you to get into the Bible every day. Read the Bible. Start reading it. Keep reading it. Don't give up reading it. Why does Satan, do you think, attack when you're reading the Bible? He does that because you need a belt of truth. So you're going to have to read the Bible if you're going to stand against the attacks of the devil, because you need that belt of truth. But never separate imputed righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account by faith, from imparted righteousness. One is the root, the other is the fruit. Our good works flow out of faith in Jesus Christ. So you can't grow in holiness without first trusting in Jesus Christ. If you aren't trusting in Jesus Christ, if you don't have that imputed righteousness put to your account by faith, you'll never grow in holiness. And don't stand before God. Don't think your standing before God is based on your own righteousness. But seek to grow in holiness and righteousness as you trust in the righteousness of Jesus. So put on the breastplate of righteousness, says Paul. Put on Jesus' righteousness, and based on that, seek to grow in righteousness before God. So where can we expect attack? We expect attack in the heart. How can we defend ourselves? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Third question then. How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do you put it on? Well, you do it by preaching the gospel to yourself. You do it by preaching the truth to yourself. If Satan is coming after your thoughts and your emotions and your emotives, then you counter his attacks by preaching the gospel, preaching the truth to yourself. You challenge yourself. Each day, you push yourself and you point yourself to the truth of the Word of God. You're reminding yourself of truth that is so easily forgotten. The truth about who Jesus Christ is, what he's done for you, that righteousness which is yours by faith, by trusting in the Savior, how Jesus is your helper and has indwelt you by the Holy Spirit. As Satan comes after your heart, put on the breastplate of righteousness by preaching the gospel to yourself. So when we're disappointed or bitter or upset, usually it's because we're trusting in something that hasn't worked for us. We're looking for something other than Jesus. We're looking to a career or to accomplishments or to a relationship to give us only what Jesus Christ can give us. So if we're bitter, we need to repent of making something other than Jesus Christ primary in our hearts. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, says the Apostle Paul. We all know what it's like at times to feel guilty. Now, there's a godly conviction of sin that drives us to Jesus Christ. But there's a wrong type of guilt that causes you to doubt God's love. It says, because you've sinned, you're unworthy. God doesn't want anything to do with you. God has forgotten you. God has cast you off. A guilt that pulls you down. And doubting God's love in doesn't line up with the greatness of the love of God in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins. So preach the gospel to yourself. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? Upward look. See? Look to Jesus. Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him, to look on Jesus Christ, and pardon me. But see what the hymn is saying? It's saying what the Bible is saying here. Preach the gospel to yourself. When you're working too hard, if you're basing your righteousness on your own efforts, a lot of people work too hard trying to build their own righteousness, a righteousness out of career or achievement or advancement. You remind yourself, that's not where your righteousness comes from. No matter how well you do in life, it will never be enough to serve as a breastplate for standing before God. Put on Jesus' righteousness. When you're self-conscious, when you feel inadequate, when you feel like you don't measure up, when you think your life's falling apart, it's an indication you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You don't need the approval of the world if you have the approval of the King of Glory. When you fear God, you don't need to fear anyone else. So when you feel inadequate, you remind yourself, you are a son, a daughter of the King of Glory. And you have a righteousness that is yours by faith in Jesus Christ. You can stand. You're a child of the King. We're preaching the gospel to ourselves, and we preach it to each other. And as we do that, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. So as we close this morning, I'm asking, have you put on this breastplate of righteousness? I don't mean that you've never committed a sin, because you have, and I have, and we all have. But I'm saying if you haven't confessed sin, if there are sins you haven't dealt with, if there are sins that haven't been cleansed, if there haven't been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you haven't put on this breastplate of righteousness, Jesus, your righteousness, it's time to seek God and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you pursuing holiness? Are you putting sin to death if you're a Christian? As you've put on righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account, don't wander away from that Saviour. Keep trusting him. Grow in holiness, Christ-likeness. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to his cross. Look to the resurrected Saviour. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, says the Apostle Paul. Where can we expect attacks? Satan will attack our hearts. How do we defend ourselves? Put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How do I put it on? How do you put it on? Preach the gospel to yourself. And may this gospel be great good news to you this morning. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for this wonderful good news that there is a righteousness that is ours by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that though Satan may accuse us of ills that we have done, we know them all and thousands more. Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, the great I am, God finds none, because we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This breastplate of righteousness is ours by faith. Help us then to seek after righteousness too in our lives, that we may stand in the evil day. And we give you praise and thanks this morning for this wonderful good news in the gospel, as we preach that gospel to ourselves afresh, that Jesus, our righteousness, is our great standing before God. And though, Lord, we know the accusations and the opposition of Satan, the enemy, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus, our righteousness. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing as a closing hymn, that hymn I mentioned by Charles Wesley. "'Tis finished," it's a way of saying, "It is finished. The Messiah dies, cut off for sins, but not his own." This him preaches the gospel to us as well. And it reminds us in that last verse, clothed in righteousness divine. Let's stand to sing number 600. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.